welcome. Thank you for joining us here today on the FIPS Faith, Family, and Freedom program. It is an honor indeed to have you on board with us. My, we could not expect it to be any better. Thank you. Thank you so much that you would take time. I know people's schedules are busy, but wherever you might be viewing Faith, Family, and Freedom, we want to thank you for your involvement. Just recently, I don't get to be at our home church all the time, but when I'm not out on the road, I'm at Liberty Baptist Church and in Muncie, Indiana. It's 9601 South Cowan Road in Muncie, Indiana. The Lord has provided us with a beautiful facility, and we give him the credit for that. And we have some wonderful people that attend there, and we want to do our best just to brag on his name, lift him up, and perhaps be a lighthouse to that community there. And if we can do that, we feel like that our purposes will have been fulfilled. I want us to go right now to the sanctuary of the Liberty Baptist Church in Muncie, Indiana. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Proverbs, chapter 30. I want to start with verse 11 tonight and appreciate the singing. In the book of Proverbs, I guess most of this written by King David, Solomon, there is a generation, it says in verse 11, that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. And also look at verse number 5. Every word of God is pure. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the opportunity. Help us to be at our best for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been trying to read through the book of Proverbs with some consistency. Solomon is a very wise man. And the instructions for the young people, for everybody, talks about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But there was something that stood out to me in this passage here. And I talked with a dear friend about it. And I got to thinking about a generation. I suppose somebody in my lifetime would be equivalent to almost two generations. If we think of 40 years or approximately that amount as representing a generation. I thought about every generation. The Bible said one generation goeth and another cometh. I thought about how things change socially, economically, politically. I got thinking about how that maybe when I was younger, seemingly, according to the statistics, we had more people that identified with Christianity, Bible believers. That number has decreased considerably. There is a group known as nones, N-O-N-E-S, that do not identify with the Christian faith at all. I think had you gone back to the early 1950s, most people, politicians and all, believed that we were a Christian nation. It certainly astounded me when I heard one of the presidents say that we were not a Christian nation. I believe it was President Obama. I got to thinking about in how that a generation, what is it in a generation? I see seemingly that in one generation, that great generation is called, Brother David, that went like your dad, that went and fought at Normandy. And I believe Brother Claude made the statement that he didn't ever want to see that place again. men that were dead in the water, men that their canteens and their smoke containers, their cigarettes, they say the beaches were just littered with that. 220 men tried to go up the cliffs there at Normandy. They were reduced down to 90, but President Reagan said every time one would fall, another would take his place. I see how that we, in just a few years, that we've kind of dismissed our Bible, and that's why I wanted you to see verse number 5 up there. Unless I'm misreading something, it says every word of God is pure.
Amen. Amen.
Every word.
Amen.
How could that be maintained then in books that omit one third of the New Testament? We better be careful of where we're reading. I believe that God didn't leave us here with just something we had to guess at, Miss Morris, as to his word. I believe that we have the preserved word of God.
Amen.
I think about that today, it seemed like here at our church, and I tell people because I'm glad that we do it, that we support missions. When we look around the walls and we see the flags that represent different countries. But unfortunately, it appears to me that they may have to help us here in our own country. You see, I really believe that in the last several years, and I've made this statement before, but it's worth repeating, COVID didn't ruin our churches. It revealed the churches. Now we see people that in one generation, now I don't know for sure who this generation was. He said there is a generation that curses their father. I do know this, we don't have the bond in families that we once had.
Right.
He said, and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that's pure in their own eyes. Can you think of anybody like that today? Isn't it unfortunate that we have these colleges that are supposed to be scholarly, known for their scholasticism, that are marching in the streets supporting Hamas? What a tragedy that men died on the battlefield, gave their best for our country, and here we have people today that think it's all right for the jihadists and for Hamas to murder babies, cut their heads off. Now, I know that you and I are thinking it's terrible, and it is. I don't have the words to describe how awful it is. But a lot of those same people have no trouble with taking the heads off of children in the womb. Here in the book of Proverbs, there is a generation, look in verse 14, whose teeth are as swords. Have you ever seen people so fierce today? Their language, they have mouths that are for the sewers. Talk on television. Use words that we would have been whipped for using in public when I was growing up. Commentators, journalists that have potty mouths, use words. They don't seem to blush by one bit. The Bible said that Israel got so sinful it could not blush. I'm afraid that we're about there. You see, I think we ought to have a spiritual appetite. But notice, it says their jaw teeth are as knives. You cross people today, they can tell you where to go and how to get there and how quickly to get there. They don't mind to share that with you. Seem like we've lost our civility. Seem like we've lost our good manners. Seem like we've lost our good behavior. Now, you see here, religion and religious circles are growing, but I wonder about salvation. And it's to the point where that we sometimes think, are we having church? Maybe we're not seeing the numbers, but I tell you, that's not our job to be concerned about numbers. We ought to be concerned, but what I'm trying to say, when we have done what we can do, let's leave the results up to the Lord. Dr. Harold Seitler said, if I preach today and nobody comes to the altar or comes seeking salvation, he said, I'll preach tonight. And if nobody comes tonight, I'll preach Wednesday night. I'll preach it next Sunday. We have nothing to do other than tell the story. People are not obligated to believe, but we're obligated to tell. We need to tell folks, don't we? And I've been trying to do that. I don't know who this generation is, but I tell you, it's got my concern. It says here, there is another generation that wants to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Oh my. This generation, is it? I don't know that it was talking about our generation, but does our generation fit in there somewhere maybe? Is there an applicability here somewhere? Is there some kind of relevance? Is there something that's germane to this right here and our own generation? I pray God help us today. I want to do my best in these days, and I've said it before, and I want to say it again. I want to tell people that there's a Savior, that he gave his life, that whosoever would come to him, he would in no wise cast out. I don't know what our generation may get like. I don't know. I know that politically and other ways seem like things are not in balance, seem like things are out of balance. Where it goes, I have no idea. Only God knows. This situation in the Middle East, I don't know how it'll be resolved, but I know one thing, that it's going to be God orchestrated. God's not going to lose a single battle. And I'm not taking away from the leadership of anybody there, whether it's the Prime Minister of Israel or whoever. But I'm simply saying that God will be the final authority. This land that was promised to Israel is 10% greater than the whole state of Texas. The little part they've got right now is about 3% of that. There's another generation. I'll conclude with this. May the 14th, 1948, President Truman welcomed Israel into the family of nations. Zechariah, those scriptures in the Old Testament let us know there especially, the Lord said in the book of Matthew that this generation would not pass till all these things be fulfilled. I don't know for sure just what generation that may be, but I do know one thing. The next thing that we'll experience, in my opinion, will be the snatching away, the calling out, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who gave himself for us a ransom. And then we are headed to the marriage supper.
Christmas today, and we hope you, our extended families, have enjoyed it just half as much as we have. Now remember, it's great to give and receive gifts. It's wonderful to visit with friends and relatives at Christmas time, but we always need to remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Why don't you join us now and let's have a good time and sing Joy to the World. God bless you, and from all the kings, with a very
Merry Christmas.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. Dear friend, Pastor, now evangelist, Lonnie Moore from the Nicholasville, Kentucky area. And Brother Moore, it seems to me that you've been in ministry a long time. How long?
I have been. I pastored for 39 years, and the Lord laid on my heart to go into the evangelism. And so I've been doing that a little over a year. But we started the church in Nicholasville in 1983. And so I pastored it 39 years. God bless. Gave us a wonderful ministry there, Christian school, little Bible college, and a great missions program there, and a Christian school. The great ministry that God blessed us with there.
Well, you are also a tremendous vocalist, a great singer. I like singing. My dad taught the old-fashioned music schools. Do people recognize you for both preaching and singing?
Well, I sing in a lot of these large conferences, and a lot of people, when they just hear me singing, they have no idea that I'm a preacher. But it makes me think, you know, back to when I was a boy. My mother told me one day, she said, "Lonnie, I need to talk to you." She said, "Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you can't sing, and you're messing up your brothers and your sister. Maybe the Lord will call you to preach, and you can preach and they can sing." But, you know, it was helpful to me, because I realized if I was, as much as I love singing, if I was going to sing, I would have to learn how. So I went to Tennessee Temple out of high school, of course, studying in the ministry. But I was in a great place to learn music. And so for 5 years, I took voice and did all the exercises. And since I didn't know how to sing, I listened and did everything the teachers told me to do.
And Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns. Covers it all. Calvary covers it all.
To do.
Well, it worked. Just for background information, brother, tell us just quickly, if you can, about your wonderful dad and mother. Especially, a lot of people would remember your father.
Right, and I have so much that I owe to those who impacted my life, but my parents. My dad was the first home missionary for BIMI, and he went up into a lawless community in eastern Kentucky, and there he started a church where it just seemed impossible. But he stayed there 41 years, built a great church, a Christian school, totally changed a community of about 200 people up in an area that didn't even have bridges and no electricity, running water. But he went in there and loved those people and changed them for Christ.
And his name is?
E. Verdy Moore. Yes, he came out of Dr. Harold Seitler's church in Greenville, South Carolina.
Right. I met your dad. I didn't get to know him as well as I would have loved to, but I'll get to know him better one
Amen.
Day. But we're here at our home church, Liberty Baptist Church, where my son is a pastor, and we've been here in meetings with Brother Ricky Gravely.
Right.
And you're singing tonight and yesterday. It's been a blessing to
Praise
us.
Praise the Lord.
I hope you'll come back and be with us.
I hope so. I'd love to.
How do people get a hold of Lonnie Moore? Do you have a website or email?
LonnieMooreMinistries.com. If you look that up, that's my website. And I have a singing course called Singing Made Simple. And then there's some books that I've written, too, that it would be available on there as well.
LonnieMoore.com?
Lonnie Moore Ministries.
Oh, Lonnie Moore Ministries. Well, that's that way. And are you still in Nicholasville?
Well, we have recently moved back up to where we grew up, my wife and I, in Boonville, Kentucky. And so we have made that our home base, but we're not there very much.
Well, brother, it's certainly good to be with you, brother.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed this week.
God bless you, my brother.
God bless you.
Let me just implore you and try to encourage you to exhort that we all in the coming days and the weeks as we come to a new year, that we do our best. Let's make church a priority. I think that it's a dreadful mistake when we start making church just a time of suggestions. But we ought to have a regular time that we go to church, set that time aside. It's where we get fed. It's where we fellowship. It's where we get in communion with the others. And the Lord, hopefully, meets with us and gets praise during the service. Secondly, I'd like to remind each one of us to love on our families, our children, our grandchildren. Let's just, you know, I know that we sometimes all do things, even as children, that maybe it's not the best road, but we're all in the family together. And also, we're in the family of God, so we shouldn't take that lightly. I hope that you'll continue to be a supporter of our Phipps Faith, Family, and Freedom. You can go to the website. You can check out the book that's going to be available. It's always a struggle, but, and tell others about it, and we would appreciate it. But until the very next opportunity, this is your friend, Andrew Phipps, hoping that you have a great day, and God bless you and your families.